And time now for the Friday Financial Feature with Ruby Lougheed Yanni, the Senior Financial Advisor from Lougheed Financial Planning, Manulife Securities Incorporated. In for Ruby today, it's Hannah Rintala. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning. Did you know that over the next 45 years, approximately $5 trillion of generational wealth will be passed down by evangelicals to the next generation or two? That's a lot of money. If we believe that we are stewards of God's money, not owners of our wealth, what is our responsibility when it comes to the generational transfer of wealth? The Great Commission in Mark 16:15 directs us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. In Matthew 24:14 we read, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." Clearly, reaching the world with the gospel message will help us fulfill the Great Commission, but it will also hasten the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that have to do with the transfer of generational wealth? According to the Wycliffe Bible Translators, providing every people group with the Bible in their own language would come at a projected cost of $1 billion. Sending missionaries to the unreached people groups of the world is estimated to cost several billion dollars. While interest in philanthropic giving is increasing, donations to churches and ministries are dropping. In fact, donations to churches and parachurch ministries are on course to drop by 70% over the next 25 to 30 years. Also, when it comes to the generational transfer of wealth, the funding of the Great Commission is challenged by the practice of something called inheritolatry. Inheritolatry is a concept authored by Jim Wise, financial advisor with Ronald Blue and Company, to describe the idolatry of inheritance. For parents, it's the commitment to leave a significant financial inheritance to the next generation without regard to spiritual commitment, financial responsibility, or the size of the estate. For children, it is the unhealthy fixation on their inheritance with an attitude of entitlement. What is God's plan for inheritance? Most of us feel a need to be fair and to divide an inheritance equally. But we need to ask ourselves, is that the biblical way? Equal distribution of inheritance is not actually seen in the Bible. According to the Mosaic law in the Bible, the oldest son received a double portion. Usually, only sons received an inheritance, and larger families received larger inheritance. So in essence, inequality is permitted, and according to God's principles, there are several variables that should influence the inheritance decision. First of all, the size of the inheritance. Any inheritance we leave our children should be a blessing, not a curse. It is possible to give them too much. The word affluenza is a combination of affluence and influenza. It is used to describe the psychological dysfunction caused by affluence. Children who grow up in affluence can develop an attitude of entitlement regarding their inheritance. Children who receive large inheritances can also develop a self-destructive consumerism addiction. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Clearly, limitations are prudent. Secondly, spiritual commitment. First, we need to ask ourselves, whose money is it? In Psalm 24:1, we read, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So if the money we have is God's and we are His stewards, then we are accountable to Him, not our children. What will they do with the money you leave them? Is that where God wants His money invested? The third variable is financial responsibility. How well your heirs handle money now will be a pretty good indication of how they will spend their inheritance. Do your children demonstrate wisdom and contentment, or foolishness and selfishness? You could consider helping your children out earlier on to perhaps buy a home or obtain an education or start up a business, rather than waiting to bless them after you die. If you start giving it away now, you will see what your children and charities will do with it. And finally, what are their financial needs? Clearly, the financial needs of an unmarried child with a good paying job and no family are less than those of a child with a large family and less disposable income. Ron Blue, founder of Ronald Blue & Company, encourages us with these words, "If you love your children equally, you will treat them uniquely." In the end, you need to ask yourself, what impact am I hoping to create with the inheritance? Be very specific. In fact, you should ask that question of every individual and charity receiving a portion of the inheritance. Research charities, ministries that do good work and are committed to the Great Commission, and consider adding them as a charity child to your transfer of wealth plan. Usually the biggest challenge for most people when deviating from dividing their inheritance equally is not knowing how their children will react. Once you have come up with an inheritance plan, have a family meeting with your children and their spouses. You may even want to invite your financial advisor to be present to help answer questions. You want to communicate your intentions before you die. You're not asking for permission, but you could ask them for feedback. The family meeting should be fun, positive, and build unity. Since God has entrusted our generation of Christians with an abundance of wealth, perhaps we should consider using our excess resources to complete the funding of the Great Commission. Be blessed and have a great weekend.